What if after chapel today I announced that instead of the semester ending tomorrow with your final in the morning, that we're going to have two more weeks of classes? How would everyone feel? I think all of us, faculty, staff, and students, would all be a bit disappointed. The reason is not necessarily that we hate the school year, but that we have all prepared mentally for the semester to end this week, so that moving back that goal a few weeks is psychologically very difficult to handle. In fact, there's even a term for this, teleoanticipation. It simply means anticipating the end. I discovered this term when listening to a podcast about running that featured Alex Hutchinson, a sports scientist, and he defines teleoanticipation as thus. It's basically the science of finish lines and how their presence and absence influences us. When you're running a race and know that you have quite a bit of distance to go, you don't push yourself all out because you want to have a little gas left in the tank for the end. If you see the finish line approaching, though, you can convince your body to perform as hard as possible for that remaining distance. Hutchinson also points out that this is one of the reasons, perhaps, that COVID-19 has been so difficult for people. We don't have a clear finish line, a final endpoint that we can see. We can't make solid plans. Any plans that we have to make are contingent, ready to change at a moment's notice. So what does teleoanticipation mean for us as Christians? How does the presence or absence of a finish line affect our lives? In the text that we are considering this morning, 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27, the Apostle Paul directly compares our lives as Christians to a race. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. As we consider our lives as Christians as a race, we can be assured that we have already won, for we have received the imperishable crown of eternal life. Paul begins this section by pointing out that in a race, only one person wins, and urges the Corinthians to run in such a way that you may obtain it. He goes on to say that everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. This all makes sense. If you are running a race, you want to win it, or at least do your best. And if you're seriously training for a race, you'll want to be temperate. Eating cookies and donuts is probably not the best training plan. If we as humans maintain discipline and training for an athletic competition, for a mere trophy or some other perishable prize, how much more should we prepare ourselves for running the race of the Christian life in anticipation of the ultimate finish line, death, and the entrance into eternal life thereafter? As Paul writes, now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. When we take a look at our lives, we can all see so many areas where we aren't training or disciplining ourselves. Do we act and think as if we are running the race of a Christian? If you know any runners, you don't have to ask them about their training. You see what they do. They're careful about what they eat and drink, and even about getting enough sleep. In our training as Christians, are we getting our spiritual nutriments that Professor Pfeiffer spoke about yesterday? Or are we binging on spiritual junk food, which has deadly effects? Runners will do anything to ensure that they can squeeze their training runs in. Are we making sure that no matter what, we don't miss the chance to hear and study God's word? Do we have any teleo-anticipation? We, of course, don't know when the race of our life will end, but do we even consider that we could die today or that judgment day could come tomorrow? Would anyone even notice that we are striving to complete our training for our life in heaven? It's definitely difficult for us as Christians to witness to others if it's clear that we are not concerned about disciplining ourselves and being faithful to our calling as believers. Indeed, Paul closes this section by writing, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." If we had to run the Christian life, the race of Christian life, to win salvation, we would definitely fail. We would be disqualified because of our sins. Thanks be to God that through Christ we have already obtained salvation. With his blood, Christ has bought the imperishable crown of life for us. Paul writes, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." We don't have to worry about the outcome of the race. We've already won. Thus, with the end, our completion, the completion of our life on earth and the start of heaven in mind, we have an end, a certain purpose to our lives. We may not be able to anticipate when our end will come, but we can live day to day with the joyful assurance that we have been saved. Our salvation's been completed. Also, because we can't see that finish line from day to day, and we think how poor our training and self-discipline has been, we may be tempted to despair, thinking we can't run another step in this race. We can be comforted, though, with the fact that it is the Holy Spirit that works faith in us, and that creates the fruits of faith. As Jesus reminds us, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." We are connected with Christ through faith. And as Paul writes in Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Even the best trained athletes have bad runs and experience failure. But we know that in our race, Christ has secured the victory for us. Christ himself says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Christ has gone through all the suffering of the race, not just cramps or pain or dehydration, but he has gone through hell. He has suffered for our sins that we may gain the victory and get to enjoy it with him in heaven. Teleo-anticipation. Yes, we can anticipate the end of the semester and push ourselves through the last few days, knowing that we'll receive some rest and relaxation afterwards. No, we cannot anticipate when the end of our lives will be, and so that end may seem like a distant horizon. However, we can live our lives to God and run the race of Christian faith with joy and anticipation of finally crossing the finish line of death and receiving the crown of life. We'll continue with hymn 447, verses 1, 2, and 4. 447, 1, 2, and 4.